Illinois State Representative John Bradley is joining me this morning. First off, John, morning. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's Monday. I wanted to take an opportunity to speak with John a little bit about the upcoming November election. Of course, the big race is that between that of Quinn and Rauner. Is there a single driving item in the race for governor? I mean, we could just say money, but that'd be an oversimplification.
Well, I think there is a significant anti-Quinn sentiment out there among Democrats and certainly among Republicans. You look at the totals that an unknown candidate from Chicago got against Quinn in the primary, and nobody had ever heard of the other gentleman. Nobody knew anything about the other gentleman, yet he got, you know, over a third of the vote. So there's a significant anti-Quinn sentiment. On the other hand, people don't know who Rauner is. Rauner has what appears to be unlimited resources, and he has an opportunity to put his message out and invent himself or introduce himself to the downstate public. Apparently, though, from what I can tell, I don't know that he's really done that yet. And so I'm a little surprised, given the resources has, that this hasn't already taken place.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I said something very similar last week, because I know a lot of money is being spent in the northern portions of Illinois in TV ads in particular. Downstate, we really haven't seen those. And I'm literally at dinner with friends on Saturday night, and a guy I've known for 30 years says, "Who's Bruce Rauner?" I mean, literally asked that question, "Who's this Rauner guy?" And asked it that way.
Yeah, and, you know, the ideology of the two candidates couldn't be more different. I mean, there's a huge contrast here. This is not a situation where you have, say, a conservative Democrat and a moderate Republican. You have a liberal Democrat and a conservative, fiscally conservative Republican whose social issues are unclear to a lot of people on both sides. And you've got some real stark contrast here. And the groups that are angry at Quinn for various reasons, take, for instance, the pension vote or the pension issue. I mean, what Rauner proposes is much worse for the groups that are opposed to that than what Quinn has proposed. So that's going to create a real interesting dynamic, I think, in terms of you got two folks from Chicago, one a billionaire, the other an unpopular governor, and who's going to define who? And where will voters that are dissatisfied with either or both end up settling? And I think it's still completely up in the air.
Historically, voters don't turn out when they're feeling disenfranchised. And I think disenfranchised is a nice word for it. And they talked about it at the State Fair on Democrats Day. They're really pushing these five voter referendums, thinking that that's going to drive people to the poll and they'll vote for their Democratic candidate by default.
You know what? There are 10 people in the state that are excited about voting for Pat Quinn. And so to get the Democratic base to vote, there's going to have to be something else driving that vote out. Now, in some areas, there's local races. You've got the Gilchrist Bryant race over to the west of us. It's going to drive out votes. You've got some of the local races here in Williamson County, and you've got, you know, local races throughout the state that are going to drive out votes. But in terms of the governor, I just don't see either one of these downstate bases, either Republican base or Democratic base, being highly motivated to go vote in this non-presidential year.
You talked about it just in kind of a glancing blow when you made your last statement there. And Southern Illinois voters, do candidates see them as important as you and I do because we live here? I often wonder that if Southern Illinois voters are just marginalized, say, look, the big votes are in Chicago. Let's go fight it out where all the votes are.
I spend a lot of time trying to educate people about margins. And so, for instance, in the last gubernatorial race, Bill Brady, sorry, I'm used to saying Bradley, Bill Brady just beat the snot out of Pat Quinn downstate. However, he did not get the margin or the level of support in a few key counties that he got in the rest of downstate, which was the difference in that race. So, for instance, if Bill Brady's getting 65% through central Illinois, he only gets 54% or 55% in these big counties in deep southern Illinois. That's not enough for him to win. So I think it's safe to say Rauner is going to win a lot of the counties downstate. He's probably going to win a majority of our area. The question is, by how much?
It's interesting.
Who's going to get his 39%, 40%? How much is Rauner going to get? Is Rauner going to get 60, or is Rauner going to get 51 or 52?
Yeah, when you said that, that made me recall, you know, Rod Blagojevich would not have been governor first term had it not been for Southern Illinois downstate votes.
Particularly in the primary. You know, and getting back to the last race that Blagojevich ran, it was against Judy Bartatinka. Judy Bartatinka is on the ballot this year. It's a Republican running against our local candidate, Sheila Simon, and has the backing of the AFL-CIO. And Judy Bartatinka got defined by Blagojevich, who, similar to Rauner, had what appeared to be unlimited resources in that campaign. But Blagojevich was on TV defining Judy Bartatinka in the spring of that election. Well, the spring's already happened. The summer's almost over. And, I haven't seen either one of these candidates really do a good job of defining themselves or each other.
And down here in downstate Illinois, you talk about unlimited resources. Couldn't we use that same type of terminology in the Durbin-Oberweiss race?
Yeah, I think that would be fair. I don't expect that race to be very competitive. We really haven't seen either one of those candidates in our area. I don't expect that we will. They probably will be around the DeQuinn State Fair, as will the rest of the candidates, but I would say that'll be about it.
And you know what? That bothers me a lot.
Well, it bothers me a lot, when you see the effects of what it does to our region, not to have, more attention on the federal level. It's not a competitive race, so I don't expect that we'll see them down in this area.
Do you think there's a throw-the-bums-out incumbent mentality in Illinois and in the nation?
I think there's been that for years. I remember in college studying in political science, the concept of throw-the-bums-out. But what we see historically, time and time again, is the concept that throw the bums out does not apply to the local representatives. So throw the bums out, but not my bum,
right,
is what the philosophy has always pretty much been in government.
I remember,
that has exceptions, right? And there are waves and there are tides, and that happens. 1994 is an example. It happened in 2010. Again, and then 2012, there was an opposite tidal wave that happened. So it could happen. I don't look forward. I think the American voter, regardless of what political polls may think, generally usually get it right, and they usually vote for the person.
So many people are worried about the economy, about jobs. And we see, the new unemployment number, all right, 5 months straight drop. But, John, every time I talk to someone about this, especially in person, they're going, I don't believe it. I don't believe the economy's better. And you know why? Man, there's more people with food pantry than there's ever been. There's more people I know that are trying to scrape by. You go to the grocery store, it's almost like people are in post-traumatic stress syndrome from the look on their faces trying to make their food budget match because the price of food keeps going up. There's a thought here that no matter what anybody says in Washington or Springfield, things are in fact are not getting better. And, of course, the term that was being used early on was, this is the new normal.
Yeah, I've been hearing that now for probably 10 years, that there's a new normal. I mean, gas prices. I mean, we've just been conditioned to pay $4 for gas.
Yeah.
I remember when gas went to $2. I remember when gas went to $2.50 and $3, and we were outraged. And now people stand in line for $2.50 gas or $3 gas.
Yeah, well, I felt relieved when I saw it drop more last week. But the economy is the central issue. And a downstate economy, you and I are no stranger to the subject that we need a break. I mean, whether it's the Starbonds project or fracking or whatever the case, that, you know, there needs to be a Southern Illinois opportunity, an Illinois opportunity that really typifies growth, because the other figures are that you look at Mayflower Moving or these moving companies. You don't have to look at government figures. People are moving out of the state.
Yeah, well, and, you know, anecdotally, that's going on throughout the excuse me, Midwest.
It's weird that you mention it. I just saw that in a report last week of people in the South who were born in the South. They aren't. There's a migration going on.
Yeah, and to some extent, that's a product of folks moving to warmer areas. You see it in college football as an example. Maybe a silly example, but you know the big schools in the northern cities have more trouble recruiting than the big schools down south where it's warm and nice out here.
So this coming November, I doubt very seriously that this is going to be a nice and genteel race, in particular in the gubernatorial race. The Boston Inyart race are going to be very big as well. First-year freshman incumbents in Washington are not entrenched. They've only been there a couple of years. I mean, when it comes to this November, what would you like people to look at in their decision-making process about who to vote for? What do you think are the important items to look for?
Well, I think you got to look at where people stand on issues that are important to us. And I think you've got to look at where people stand in terms of protecting what we've got and also bringing things to the region. I would look and I'd say, now, does this person stand for the things that we stand for? Is this a person that's willing to put in the hours and put in the time and effort to make sure that we get our fair share of funding in various areas? And are they going to stand up for exactly what you said, Tom? Are they going to stand up for jobs in our economy? And when they don't agree with me, are they going to tell me that? Are they going to say, hey, I don't agree with you, but this is why? And can they carry, you know, a reasoned thought pattern? I would rather have somebody say, hey, I don't agree with you, and just be straight with me than tell me what they think I want to hear and then disappoint me. And so I would hold politicians and elected officials accountable in what they say in the campaign and what they do once they get elected.
An honest dialogue. Almost like a wish list in politics, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just be straight with us. If you're for this, then just say you're for it. If you're not for this, then say you're not for it. You know, we can take bad news. We can take hits. But I think what frustrates us, and I think what has hurt politicians down in our area more than anything, is when they're not straight with us and they don't tell us where they're really at. If you're not for something, veto it. If you don't think that something is worthwhile, then, you know, you have the power to make those decisions, but be straight with people when you do.
And you know, one of the items that I think that is most relevant in what you just said would be, are you for or against the temporary tax, that last tax increase, income tax in Illinois? That might be one of the defining issues when it says, be honest with me, are you for or against, as opposed to after November and then at 2 o'clock in the morning voting for something. That's the first thing that came to my mind when you said that.
Well, and come up with a plan. Have a plan, right? If you get, what's your plan? Tell us what your plan is. If your plan involves a tax increase, okay. If it doesn't involve a tax increase, okay. But be for something.